chapter 33. This is the second in a series. I'm anticipating it being four. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. You remember last week I told you that the conference that we were at, they were speaking on a portion of this, and the two ministers got up and preached basically the same message, and the one said, it's obvious that that means that you're not spending enough time in 2 Chronicles. And so we're going to spend some time in the last part of 2 Chronicles, and I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 33, and we're going to start at verse 21. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 21. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. And he humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Ammon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. The next verse, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let us pray. Father, I ask you that you'd give us understanding of your word, give us application of your word, help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, for we give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started and we had read the first part of 2 Chronicles 33, and we had the testimony of Manasseh, King Manasseh. And now we have the testimony of King Ammon. But in review, I'll just give you the first 3 points that we had last week is, if you will not listen easily to God, then God can and will do it the hard way. And we looked at chapter 33, verses 10 through 12, how that God spoke to him, verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. And so then God takes him away into captivity among the thorns and bound with fetters and carried away into Babylon. And so if you will not listen easily to God, God can bring affliction so that you will listen to him. We had much more to say, but that was last week's message. I might mention that we do tape these messages, at least most of them, and they are put on the website, and so you can reference them there. Secondly, we found out that a person is never too wicked to turn to the Lord. Manasseh probably was considered the most wicked king in all the times of Judah's history. And yet, God worked in his heart and God brought him to himself. Can I tell you this morning, never give up on praying for somebody. Never give up on witnessing. You might want to change your tactics here or there. You may want to change how you approach the situation, but never give up. One is never too wicked to turn to the Lord. And we looked at verse 13, and it said that Manasseh prayed unto God, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. You're never too wicked to turn to the Lord. And then thirdly, we looked at, it's never too late to serve the Lord. Never too late to serve the Lord. And we looked at verses 15 and 16, how that he took away the strange images and the idols that were all there, and he served the Lord God. It's never too late to serve the Lord. Folks, you are not too old to serve the Lord here. There's no such thing as retirement from the Lord's service. All of us are in the Lord's service. We ought to be serving the Lord every day. And don't think, oh, I'm retired, I don't have to do that anymore. or you may not do what you used to do, but you certainly can do something else. I had placed it in here, and I don't know where, but I'm going to mention it right now. You know, some of the most effective people are the elderly. They can pray, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit as we extend what we had to say last week. But not only can they pray, they can take interest in the younger generation, and they can encourage them, they can direct them. Children love stories about the past. They love stories of what has taken place. And I would encourage you, invest your life. It's never too late to serve the Lord. And so we come to point number four, which is the first point for today, but we're going to say point number four. Point number four is that sin has its consequences. In the book of Numbers, it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Sin has its consequences. A lifetime of sin was not undone by Manasseh because he made a profession, because he came to an understanding of who God was. He still suffered the consequences, and the nation still suffered the consequences. Folks, this is Memorial Day that we celebrate, and people have died. We have Memorial Day because people died. And the reason that people died is because of sin. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and because of that, there's jealousies all over the world. There are conflicts all over the world, and people are killing people all over the world, and we see that sin has its effect. And we can go all the way back to 1963. 1963 and 1964, the Bible was officially taken out of the public school system. And you can go back and you can look at the graphs and the charts. And the immorality skyrockets from 1964 onward. And that which is good and wholesome plummets. And so you can go back, and I've seen these charts, and they're just astounding and amazing. We officially threw God out of the public schools back in the 60s. What is that, 50 years ago now? And a little more than 50 years ago? And we are reaping the whirlwind. Sin has its consequences. We go back just 20 years ago to the time of Bill Clinton when he was in office. Bill Clinton, what he got away with is having repercussions in our society even today. What Bill Clinton did in the White House is being done now in the grammar schools. In the grammar schools of our nation. He got away with it. It was all right. We didn't see any problems with it. And so, folks, we have a situation where sin has its consequences. And as a result now, can you hear or think of anything more ridiculous than a man deciding that he wants to be a woman today and he wants to go into a girl's bathroom? Can you think of anything more ridiculous that people who are perverted, immoral, ungodly people, that they don't have any of these feelings, but they decide they want to go into a woman's locker room? It's absolutely craziness. And I've said it before, and excuse me if you have a younger person and this is offensive and you don't want to teach your children these words, but sin makes you stupid. And our nation has become stupid in putting these things into place. Sin has its consequences. Manasseh had a lifetime of sin, a lifetime of wickedness, and look at what we find in verse 21, Ammon was 22 when he began to reign. Verse 22, it says, "But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as Manasseh his father." He had learned the ways of his father well. And then when his father, I believe probably 6 to 8 years before the end of his life, came to an understanding of who God was and came to an understanding of where was Ammon? Ammon's 15, 16 years of age. The lot is cast. The die is set. And Ammon continues in his father's wicked ways. He probably thought his father had gone nuts, had gone crazy. A lifetime of godlessness will reap untold havoc on life. Conversely, a lifetime of godliness will reap untold benefits that a light conversion cannot produce. We have the ultimate example, I believe, in the thief on the cross. You remember the thief on the cross? The scriptures tells us that just a few minutes before that, he with the other thief on the cross was mocking Jesus, was saying terrible things about Jesus, cursing Jesus. And then all of a sudden something happens and his mind is changed, his heart is changed, and now he says, "Remember me when you enter into paradise." We could get into a lot of things there, but I believe that was the Spirit of God working in his heart, changing his heart, giving him understanding of who Jesus really was. And did that thief go to heaven when he died? I can, on the authority of God's word, on Jesus' word, say, yes, he did. But did he undo all the pain, all the suffering, all the hurt that he had caused previously in his life? No. And so, folks, we have that, yes, a person can be forgiven. A person can be saved at the 12th hour. A person can go to heaven after a lifetime of debauchery. But don't depend on it. First of all, you don't know when that time's going to come. You don't know when a heart attack will take you down. You don't know when a car accident will take you down. We had a friend, it's been years and years ago, a 9-year-old little boy riding his bicycle, and a lightning bolt came out from the sky, and he was done. He was gone. And so you can be 9 years old, you can be 4 years old, you can be 5 years old. You don't know. You know, what's Cole, 2 years old? Cole's 2 years old. Cole's going around eating berries. All for all he knows, they're blueberries. But they could have been the nightshade, the deadly nightshade. Let me tell you something. That puts the fear of God into you like nothing else. And let me tell you something. It's not tomorrow that we need to share with our children. It's today that we need to share with our children that they need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. It's real. It's true. And we need to understand that a lifetime of sin has its consequence. It has its consequences not only in a family's life, but in a nation's life. And we are reaping the consequences of it in our nation. Now, point number 5 could be a duplicate of number 3, but I believe it's a different in emphasis. Number 3 talks about that you're never too old in order to serve the Lord. Here we say in point number 5, do not discount what can be done in older age. Do not discount what is done or can be done in older age. Look at the effect on Josiah. It says in verse 1 of chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old. And I was going to do this last week, and we had a lot more folks here, a lot more young people here. But is there anybody 8 years old here today? No one 8 years old. Who's the closest to 8 years old? 9 years old. 9. Can you imagine? And that is Joshua, right? There's Joshua. We're going to make Joshua king. Oh, wow. Can you imagine Joshua being king? Joshua, come up here. I just want to come up here for a second. Now, Joshua is a fine-looking young man. We're going to make turnover so they can see you. We're going to make Joshua president of the United States. But better than what we got now? Okay. Better than what we've got coming up? But nobody would really expect Joshua to run the government and do those kind of things. Thanks, Joshua. I just wanted to get a mental picture in the mind. And Joshua is a year older than Josiah was. And Josiah became king when he was 8. That meant that Ammon had him pretty early. He had, remember, 2 years of reigning. And Ammon was a wicked, wicked man, wasn't he? We saw that. He walked in the sins of his father. What influence, where did Josiah get that influence for the first 8 years of his life? I would submit to you, 2 years, take away 2 years. So for the first 6 years of Josiah's life, Grandpa was still around. For the first 6 years of his life, Grandpa was still alive. And I believe what Grandpa said was something like this. I was a wicked man. I served my own flesh. I served my own passions. I served my own self. But God graciously gave me understanding, and He saved me. And I believe that He took an interest. Ammon was too long, far gone. There was no talking to Ammon. But he still had a relationship with his grandson. Can I tell you a couple things there? Folks, a child is never too young to learn about Jesus. A child is never too young to be affected by Jesus. That's why I am so glad that our young people are being trained in the Christian Youth in Action and that they are going to be sharing Jesus with young people. And that's why my hope and my goal and my desire is that they don't just do it in the official clubs, but they know how to work with young people, whether it be in the nursery, whether it be in Sunday school, whether it be in VBS, or whether it be just by with a neighbor, effectively being able to share the gospel with Jesus Christ. You know, while we were up at the CEF National Conference, I went and I saw somebody had some of these. You know, people like this kind of stuff. And this guy, and the guy was selling them there, and he says, would you take, he says, he was selling them. He said, people see it hanging on their pants, and they say, what's that all about? And then they take it, and they say, well, this gold-looking card talks about God and talks about heaven and talks about how God is perfect and God can't allow sin into His heaven. And this black card talks about man and how man is sinful and can't get into God's heaven. But God made a way and made a provision in Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. The perfect man, the perfect God, who gave His life. And all that, and by His blood, if we believe in Him and trust in Him, our sins can be washed white as snow. And then we are to grow in Christ. We are to exercise our faith. And so, a little tool, do you think a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old can understand that stuff? They certainly can. And you know who they listen to? There's two people that little children listen to most, I believe. I believe it's other young people, and I believe it's grandma and grandpa. It's older people. What a tool, what an opportunity that they can utilize. And by the way, I've got a quantity of these that I'm going to be giving away as gifts and awards and prizes and that you can use as a tool to share the gospel with other people. And so don't discount what can be done in older age. Look at the effect that was on the first 6 years of Josiah. And then on the flip side, number 6 is that do not discount the effect on a young child, good or bad. I can remember that my father-in-law would say a particular word. And it wasn't a curse word. It wasn't necessarily a bad word. But it was a so-so word. And I remember the day that I heard that same coming out of my father-in-law, it was kind of funny. But I remember the day I heard it come out of one of my children's mouth, and I was appalled. And they said it with the same inflection that man said it with, my father-in-law said it. Folks, let me tell you something. You have an impact. Don't discount the effect of what you do for good, and don't discount the effect that you have for evil on a young child. They are watching. They are listening. Folks, don't discount that Manasseh didn't have an effect on Josiah. Number 7. Do not discourage a young person from serving the Lord. You're never too young to serve the Lord. We just said before, you're never too old. But here, you're never too young. Joshua is not too young to serve the Lord. Caleb's not too young to serve the Lord. I can remember when my children were younger, I'd go and visit somebody, and for the first time that had come to visit the church, and they'd say, who is that little young girl that walked around? Some of you might remember years ago that Rachel would do just like Jefferson does now and go around and shake hands. And people noticed it. People were impacted by it. But I want you to see Josiah's life. We've read verses 1 and 2. I want to just repeat verse 2. And he, that's Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He's 8 years old then. If you go to verse 3, for in the 8th year, so you add 8 plus 8, and that's 16. So he's 16 years old. While he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David his father. And in the 12th year, that's when he's 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And I know we've got some 16-year-olds to 20-year-olds that are here today. God used this young man to do his work. Go down to verse 8, if you will. Verse 8 says, now, in the 18th year, he's now 26 years old. I still consider that pretty young. When he purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Don't ever discourage a young person from serving the Lord. I've told this story before. On this front pew, years ago, Jimmy and Jeremy would sit there and they would imitate their father and sing out loud. And so between Dad and the two boys, we could really jack it up. We had some people that discouraged them from singing. I don't know if I've ever heard them sing from out there again as a result. Don't ever discourage young people from serving and praising the Lord. God has a purpose and a plan for these young people's lives. You know, when we look here and we see that Josiah was 8 years old, I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus. You know, we don't know anything about Jesus' life from the time that he was born to the time that he was 12 years old. Those years are blank. Now, there's some what we call apocryphal writings, that fanciful things that Jesus did, but we know those. That's not true. The Bible says his first miracle was at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. So we know he didn't perform miracles before that. Jesus enters into the temple at 12 years old, and he's talking to the the professors, he's talking to the preachers, he's talking to all those around there, and they're astonished. Now, did Jesus wake up on that morning that he was 12 years old when he went into the temple, and all of a sudden, boom, he just knew all that stuff? No, the scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 2, he grew in stature and favor in the light or in the face of God and man. How did he grow in those things? He grew because Mary and Joseph taught him those things. He grew because Mary and Joseph took him to the synagogue. He grew in those things because they were taught those things in the home. And so we see Josiah and we marvel at his ability and his faithfulness. But folks, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that he is teaching. Jesus was diligent in his learning. He was surrounded by godly influences. He knew how to address and talk to these men, not only in a respectful way, but in a intelligent way. Children are capable of learning and assimilating things far deeper than I believe that we think so. And so my point is for Josiah, and my point for the Lord Jesus in point number 8 is that he did not start when he was 8 years old. I believe it was Manasseh that had an impact, had an influence, had a way of driving or pulling him along to godliness, so that when he was installed at 8 years old, he did what was right in the sight of God. As we conclude and as we bring those things together, you remember that last week I asked you that perhaps there would be some older folks, and you remember how I define older folks. I'm going to expand that a little bit. Those that don't have the pressures of raising a family, those that don't have the pressure of dealing day in and day out with those, I want to ask you that if there would be a group of people, I'm going to call them seniors. Now, you may not be a senior, but you go into that. That you would agree to take for 13 weeks to pray for a young person in this church, or even two young people. I have a book right here. It says, Pray for Me. And it goes through 13 weeks of praying for a particular individual. Last week I asked you if you would take those prayer cards that are in the pew. And you said, I want to, for 13 weeks, pray for and invest my life in an individual. I have started wearing for the next 13, 15 weeks a little bracelet that says, Prayer Champion, Pray for Me Campaign. And I want to encourage you to write down and say, I want to be involved for 13 weeks. It's not a long-term commitment, and I want to pray for. I had two people come to me last week and ask me that they wanted to be involved and they wanted to do. And we'll give you one of these prayer guides, and we'll give you one of these bracelets just to remind you to pray for the young people of our church, that God would raise them up, that we might have some Josiahs. Do we need some Josiahs in our country today? Do we need some Josiahs in our churches today? Do we need some Josiahs in our society today? And so I'm going to ask that if there's those that don't have the everyday stress and strain of training and raising your children, that you would come and you'd write those, give it to me, and here in a couple more weeks, we're going to kick off that time together, that we'll just remember those that are younger and try to invest in their lives. And so this morning I want to remind you, don't discount the effect you can have on a younger child. Think of Josiah, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not discourage young people from serving the Lord. You remember the Lord Jesus, his mother came, and I can imagine going 3 days and couldn't find Jesus. And where were you? What? Don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business? Let's encourage young people to be about our
Father's business. Let us pray.
Father, I ask you this morning that you would give us a desire to have an impact on our world, that we'd have a desire to have an impact on our children, our grandchildren, and the children that you've placed around us. Father, help us never to despise the day of small things, despise the day of young things, despise the day of inconsequential things. But Father, rather that we would encourage the small, the little, the young. That Father, we would take and that you would raise up a generation of Josiahs who would seek you, who would honor you, that would glorify you. And Father, I pray that you would utilize us in their lives. And Father, when we get to glory, that we can see the impact that we've had on those around us. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.